Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FBI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Lily Mercer, whose play Before a Fall is currently playing at the Hudson Theater as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Lily Mercer is an actor, writer, and producer, originally from Kentucky. She's worked in her home state, Arizona, Texas, New York, and Los Angeles, as the producing artistic director of the Actors Repertory Theater of Sedona, an adjunct professor at Northern Arizona University and Eastern Kentucky University. She's worked extensively as an actor and is also an award-winning writer for her plays as well as her screenplay, Falling Into Place. In May 2012, she earned an MFA in dramatic writing from the NYU Tisch School of the Arts, where she also received the Charles Papura Award for Excellence. So welcome, Lily.
Oh, my gosh. Who is that person?
That's you.
Thanks. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Well, I want to talk about Before a Fall today because it's got a couple more productions coming up. So after a brief prologue, the play begins with the character of Bonnie, who's a teacher, talking about the word hubris, how it means the pride humans sometimes have in thinking that they're somehow equal to God. So how did the concept of pride help to develop the germ of this idea into the more fully realized project?
Oh, my gosh. What an interesting, in-depth question. So how did pride – well, I started – I may do a little backpedaling here. I think I came up with the idea that here is a man, the, you know, one of the central characters is the patriarch of a southern church. And I thought, here is this man who is a church leader. I'm fascinated with the idea that people can think they can behave in a certain way and not be held accountable. I guess that's the best way to answer that question. I'm fascinated by that, by how we sometimes do and say things and expect them not to have any kind of repercussions. But I believe that there are, you know, ripples. The ripple effect goes on and on and on and on and on, like a pebble in a lake in a body of water. It may be a small pebble, but it makes a ripple that goes on and on and on.
Mm. And yeah, the idea of place also assumes a really big part in Before a Fall. So I know you're a Southerner, and I wondered how that helped to shape the sense of place in your.
The idea of faith. I should back up again and say this. This actually the play was based on a true story. I read this on the AP, and again the idea that here is someone who's a leader in the church, and that the church in the South is very much a central location for the community. It's a meeting place. It's where people go sometimes several times during the week. It's where you make your friends. It's where you see your friends. It's where you congregate in every way, shape, and form. It's where you go for the Kiwanis Club. It's where you go for the Lions Club. It's where you go for weddings and funerals. It's just the church is that structure, especially, I think, in the South, that is the sort of the grand central of the community. So it's a very important aspect in the community, and therefore the things that are said in that space carry more weight than I think in other spaces, in other places. So to me that was a really important aspect to explore.
Well, another theme that's explored in the play, because I also don't want to give too much away, it's a very beautiful lyrical play that has a lot of interesting twists and turns. I don't want to talk about those, but I do want to talk about the idea of trust, because it's most notably voiced by the character of Reverend Jack. And I wondered how this theme of trust also becomes kind of intertwined with faith and pride, the other two themes we talked about.
Well, I think that that is such an interesting question just in the bigger scheme of things. But in the play, the people that we give our trust to, the people that we give our respect to, sometimes don't earn it. But yet, one of the central characters, Allie, you know, she's, you know, she puts her trust in one of the teachers, Bonnie Davidson, the woman who also talks about hubris. And I think that everybody, at some point has to find someone that they feel they can trust and reveal their secrets to.
It does seem like Before a Fall has a lot of secrets. It's sort of one of the
most... There's a lot of secrets. I think that's part of the thing that was most interesting to me, I think, to explore was the revealing of those secrets, because the play is nonlinear. It jumps around in time and space. There are actually different things going on at the same time. Sometimes the scenes overlap.
Well, it is, just to give people a little bit more of an idea of what the play is without giving away the plot, because it is nonlinear, as you say, but it's not difficult to follow at all. There are some aspects that take place in a courtroom, so it's a little bit reminiscent of something like To Kill a Mockingbird, who's in the South, and The Search for Justice.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is, sometimes people will ask me, because I'll say, how do you describe it? And I say it's a Southern Gothic play about faith, family, and fear. And I've learned that people sometimes don't really understand what Southern Gothic means or, how does that really translate? And then I'll say, I think it's like Justified meets To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's good.
So
that's
that
really
they
good.
Seem to understand, because it is the story. It's very in and of the South, mm-hmm. and it does have to do with some children, and mm-hmm. it does have to do with there is it's framed as a courtroom, a courtroom drama. There is a murder trial going on in the play. And just to back up a little bit, I think one of the things I lost track of in my earlier answer was secrets. How do we reveal those secrets? So mm-hmm. to me, the idea of having this courtroom trial going on is the same at the same time as we see these secrets unfold.
Right.
So that you see the trial actually being played out as you learn at the same time what slowly you learn what has happened that precipitated the trial in the first place. That, to me, was the most interesting thing. It was like taking this, it was like deconstructing this play. I had to make two different storylines, and then I had to weave them together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was interested in doing was seeing if I have, does this play on this, like let's say play A, does this make sense over here if I take away the other side?
Mm-hmm.
And then does the other play B make sense if I take away play A? And yes, they do, but they're so much more interesting when I weave them together
mm-hmm.
that it makes it have more of an impact, and also, I just think it's much more interesting that way and much more impactful and compelling that way. So that's
absolutely. Well, you also chose to bring Before a Fall to the Hollywood Fringe Festival this year, so I wondered why that seemed like the perfect place and time to bring the work to light.
Oh, that's funny. Life's a funny thing, Allison. I had no idea there even was a Hollywood Fringe Festival. I had been out here for just a few months. I had already worked on a showcase for some MFA film and TV graduates from Tisch, and I was sort of thinking, what would my next step be? Just trying to carve out a place in the Los Angeles community, because, as an actor, I've been fortunate enough to act, but you don't act every single day unless you create that yourself. And I thought, I'm not sure I want to what is my next project going to be? And then I heard about the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And I had this play that I had had a couple of readings of, and I was sort of itching to get it up on its feet. So just everything kind of aligned at the same time, and someone said, you should do it for the Fringe. And I thought, yeah, maybe I should do it for the Fringe. And then somebody said, you should do a reading. And I thought, maybe I'll do another reading. So I did an informal reading in my home just to see if it was far enough along to get up on its feet. And that was extremely informative. So by the time I had, this group of people meet in my home and we read it out loud and we talked about it, where did we get lost anywhere? Were there, holes in the storyline? What did you think was happening? What did you miss? That sort of thing. Once I had completed that reading and sat down and done another rewrite of the piece, I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm sure you know, once you take the leap into the Hollywood Fringe Festival, you're in it. Dive in.
Yes.
Once that train leaves the station, too bad you're not stepping off or you'll die. So
you'll get run over.
You'll get run over. So that train left and it was whoosh and we were off. But I was so fortunate in that all the right people came together and I found a great cast. I'm so fortunate with my actors. and we found the perfect space for it, at least in this incarnation. We're at the Hudson stage, and we're in the backstage area, and it's a lovely large space because I have 11 actors, and so mm-hmm. it's all just fallen together, and that's been a real blessing.
Fabulous. I always like to kind of wind up by asking people what they're working on next, if anything, so we can look forward to that. So is there anything you can tell us about now?
Well, I have tons of things I'm working on. I'm always sort of juggling several plates. I always have a couple of screenplays, but there's this one play in particular I'm working on right now, which is I've lived for many years in New York, and this particular play is called Mental Notes, and it's mm-hmm. about this a lonely piano tuner in his 40s who is visited by the son of his former gay lover of 20 years ago. The gay lover has recently taken his own life after having to, lead a life of, that he was an Amish man and mm-hmm. couldn't take being out in the open, so he went back to Amish country and got married and had a son, et cetera, and lived a lie and couldn't take it. And ultimately, the son comes to find the man in New York who changed his father's life. And it's that's been a really interesting endeavor. I'm through with one draft. I'm sure I will go through a couple more. That's the thing. It's always rewriting. It's taken 3 years to put Before a Fall on its feet. So it's a very – writing's a long process. People don't understand sometimes, I think.
It is, and because the audience for this podcast is mostly people who are either writing plays or want to, that's a really good point to make.
Yes. Writing is rewriting, right?
It is. That is a very key thing that I think people overlook and like to overlook. But mm-hmm. thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're very busy. You're in your closing weekend, so thanks for taking time.
Yes. And people can visit if they want to find out more. They can visit our website. It's beforeafalltheplay.com. And we have some pictures up if you'd like to see more. Thanks, Alice, and I appreciate your time as well.
Excellent. Before a Fall runs at the Hudson Theater in Hollywood until June 23rd. It's got two performances on that date, so that's the last day you can see it. It stars Connie Ball, Ali Costa, Marty Hale, Jen Hines, Worth Howe, Melissa Jobe, Jamie McRae, Jeffrey S. Miles, Laura Napoli, Stephen P. Oliver, and David Portorial, and is directed by Lily Mercer, with original music by Jordan Bennett and fight choreography by Andrew Amani. For more information about tickets, please visit www.hollywoodfringe.org/projects/1274. For more information about LAFBI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafbi.com.